I saw a Facebook post today that I thought was hilarious. It says, what a year. The Chicago Cubs win the World Series, and Donald Trump becomes president. And they said, that must mean that the Dallas Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl this year. As I said when we started off, we made it. We made it through this election. Crazy time, wasn't it? Very, very crazy time. I'm very pleased with the outcome. I'm very excited with it. And some of you may not be. And I'll just share why. I don't vote for a party. I don't vote for a candidate. I vote for a worldview. I vote for a worldview that is most consistent with the biblical worldview that we're to espouse as Christians. And the Republican Party is not a perfect worldview, and the candidate surely wasn't a perfect candidate. But I believe that party, that worldview, is more closely in line with the biblical worldview than the Democratic Party. Also, last night was an election that just didn't impact the next 4 years. Last night was an election, I believe, that was going to impact a whole generation. And that's because of the Supreme Court. You got four against four right now, four on four. The next president's going to nominate one more, and it's thought that another one or two could be nominated. And that they're in place for 30 years. And to have justices on the bench that just strictly interpret the Constitution without any activism, to me, that's very important. Very, very important. And I was very pleased with the list, at least, of justices that Donald Trump had put forward. So those two reasons why I'm pleased. Now, are we out of the woods? It's been a very stressful election cycle. And, you know, it could still have the potential to be very stressful. Who knows what Donald Trump's going to do, right? And so we need to continue to be praying for him and find peace in the midst of stressful times. And there is a passage that is my go-to passage in a time of stress. And that's what I want to take you to tonight. This is the passage that comforts me, and hopefully it'll comfort you too. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Lord, as your people, we're called to a life of peace. Peace that can be experienced, a supernatural peace. We're not called to live life stressed out. Lord, give us priorities to put in place to ensure, Lord, that we enjoy your peace and live in your peace, no matter how crazy things get. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known to God. And the what? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Notice twice the peace of God is mentioned in this passage. In verse 7, the peace of God. The end of verse 9, the God of peace. As Christians, we are called to live in peace. We are called to live with a supernatural peace. And I believe that this passage gives us the principles, the keys to living in the peace of God. I see six characteristics here. Number one, if you want to live in peace, in a supernatural peace, then number one, rejoice in the Lord always. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say what? Rejoice. That's what we're commanded to do, Christian. And by the way, in the original Greek language here, this is in the imperative, which means this is a command. You are commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. And the mood of the Greek also suggests something that's ongoing. So, as we live out our lives as Christians, we are to continually be in a place where we are rejoicing in the Lord. And the key there is rejoicing in whom? In the Lord. You can always rejoice in the Lord, no matter what else might be going on in your life. You may not be able to always rejoice in your circumstances. You might have a bad day or a good day. You may not always be able to rejoice in the state of your bank account. You may not always be able to rejoice in your health. Sometimes you feel good, sometimes you don't. You may not be able to always rejoice in a relationship that you're in. You may not always be able to rejoice in who won the election. All those things change. They flip-flop. But you can always rejoice in the Lord. That never, ever changes. And by the way, that's the only way that we can always be rejoicing. Right, Christian? The only way we can always be rejoicing is if we're rejoicing in the Lord. The Lord never changes. No matter what's happening in our lives, we can rejoice in salvation. We can rejoice in the fact that all of our sins have been forgiven. We can rejoice just in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The constant one. Paul the Apostle definitely practiced what he preached. When he wrote the book of Philippians, when he writes this verse, rejoice in the Lord always, again I will say rejoice. By the way, he uses the word rejoice 17 times in the book of Philippians. Guess where he was when he wrote the book of Philippians? In a jail cell. He was in a prison. He was in a prison. He was struggling. It was tough. But he could rejoice in the Lord. No matter what you're going through, rejoice in the Lord. He said, and by the way, rejoice in the Lord when things are hard, and also rejoice in the Lord when things are good. A lot of times when things get good in our life, we rejoice in the good things. Don't fall for that trap either. Always rejoice in the never-changing one, the Lord. And if you are finding your joy in the Lord, you'll experience His peace. You'll experience His peace. Number two, be gentle with all people. Be gentle with all people. Look what it says in verse 5. Let your what? Let your gentleness be known to all men. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you want to experience the peace of God, and if you want to enjoy peace with other people in your life, be gentle with all people. Be gentle with your co-workers. Be gentle with your employees. Be gentle with your friends. Be gentle, it says, let it be known before all men. And by the way, be gentle with your spouse and with your children. A lot of times as Christians, we find it very easy to be gentle with strangers and acquaintances, but then we come home and we're monsters. Be gentle with one another. A spirit of gentleness. Now, what exactly does this word gentleness mean? Well, it's a very interesting word in the Greek. It's completely unique. William Barclay called this word the most untranslatable of all Greek words. This is a word that's very, very difficult to translate the full meaning into the English language. Wycliffe, Wycliffe translates it patience, Tyndale, softness. The Geneva Bible, patient mind. Rheims Bible, modesty. On and on and on and on. There's all sorts of different ways. I think really you can capture the meaning of this word in thinking of it in three different ways. First of all, it simply means to be soft with people. And by that, to be courteous and to be respectful with people. Very important. We are not to be intimidating people. We are not to be those people that order other people around. We're not to be despots with other people. We're to be kind, courteous, soft, not weak, but soft. Proverbs chapter 15 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Secondly, this word means to be yielding. It's the idea of being a man or woman who's willing to surrender your position on an argument. Yielding ground, being able to compromise with other people. One Bible commentator defines this as, and I love this, sweet reasonableness. Sweet reasonableness with other people. Another commentator translates this verse, let all the world know that you will meet a man halfway. Be like that with all people. Again, don't be that person that, I mean, my way or the highway. Be able to compromise, be able to yield, be able to surrender. And then a third definition for this has the idea of being gentle with someone is being patient with somebody or forbearing with somebody. The idea of being able to give people way more chances than just two or three. Being a type of person who doesn't get offended easily. Someone who, you know, isn't so sensitive to everybody else's insult. It's literally being a man or woman who is able to put up with other people. To be patient with them. To give people the benefit of the doubt. To even be willing to play the role of a doormat. If need be, for the sake of unity. You know, the book of Proverbs, verse 11, it's really one of the most amazing proverbs. It says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." Check that out. The glory of a godly man or woman is the ability to overlook someone's offense. Forgive. Be patient. Be gentle. Now, of course, you have to keep that in balance with not allowing people to do you wrong. But even if you stick up for yourself and need to stick up for yourself and must defend yourself, you should do that in a gentle spirit. Not in an angry, intimidating, lash out kind of way. So be gentle with all people. Rejoice in the Lord always. Number three, be aware of God's presence in your life. Look at verse 5 again. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." The Lord is at hand. Now, there are two ways that we can understand this. First, this could be speaking of the actual presence of God who is with us at all time. Paul could be saying, remember, Christian, the Lord is with you at all time. And that's true, isn't it? The Lord is with us at all times. He will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus is with us at all times. Let that bring peace. Is there any obstacle that you face alone? Is there any problem that you face alone? Your Savior's with you. Your Savior's with you always. The Lord is at hand. Trust Him. Enjoy that peace. This could also mean another thing, however. This could also be speaking of the imminent return of Jesus Christ for His church. Paul could be saying, be at peace, be encouraged, because the Lord is at hand. In other words, the Lord is about to come back. The rapture is near, Paul would say. Heaven is near. The Bible says that in a twinkling of an eye, at some point in the future, in a twinkling of an eye, the Lord could appear and call us home. You're gone. And it can happen at any single moment. So remember that every single day. The Lord is at hand. Listen, our ultimate home is heaven. We hope and we trust in that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "For our light affliction in this life, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Be at peace, my friend. The Lord is with you, and very soon He's coming to get you. Number Number four, living at peace, understanding peace, experiencing peace. How do you get that? Pray. Pray a lot. Pray about everything. Verse 6, be anxious for some things. Is that what it says? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know how you eliminate stress in your life? You know what one of the greatest stress relievers in life is? Prayer. Just simply praying. And it says very clearly here in the text, pray about everything. Pour out your heart in prayer to God about whatever you might be going through in life, whatever care you might have, whatever challenge you might face, whatever decision that you might need to be making. Bathe it all in prayer. Pour out your heart in prayer. Pray about elections. Pray about the future of this country. Pray about all the details of your life. Pray about all the details of your children's lives, your family. Pray. And you will experience supernatural peace. And by the way, God is available. He is. Nothing's too small. When you pray, God never goes, oh, him again. You never bug God. He's never too busy for you. He's always there for you. In fact, one of my favorite verses, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. I love that. Again, that's a command. Cast. God says, cast all your cares on me. I command you. I want all your cares. Cast them on me. You're weak. I have strong shoulders. I'll carry your burdens. I want them. Cast them all upon me. The Phillips translation of that verse, I love the best. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. I love that. He cares about you. Pray about it. Pray about everything. Those verses tell us to pray specifically. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication speaks of specific prayer requests. Specific needs. Not just general prayers. Specific prayers. God wants those prayers. This text tells us that when we pray, we should do so with thanksgiving. Does it say to pray with complaining? Does it say come to God grumbling? It says come to God with thanksgiving. Things get tough in life, but never let it put you in a spirit where you're complaining and grumbling against God. You know, we've been studying the Israelites over the last several months, haven't we, on Wednesday nights? And one of the most distressing thing in reading about them is how they're always complaining. Grumble, 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 grumble. And that doesn't please the Lord. You can bring your problems to the Lord without complaining. In fact, you can bring your problems to the Lord with thanksgiving. There's always something to thank him about. Amen? Pray with thanksgiving. And it also says here very, very clearly that we're to pray personally. Personally. You. You personally. You pray. You go to the Lord in prayer. You get on your knees and pray. Incredibly important. And let me tell you, incredibly powerful. There is something about getting alone with God and just pouring it all out. Just you and God. There's a supernatural catharsis that takes place. There's this empowerment that takes place. There's this joy. Man, when you unload all of that anxiety upon the strong shoulders of Jesus in that time of prayer, you will experience peace. A peace that you cannot explain, but a peace that you can certainly experience. Very powerful. If you have prayer requests and you want the elders of this church or the pastors of this church to pray with you, we're glad to do it. We'd love to do it. We'll do it. If you have a prayer request or a need, and maybe you have some Christian friends in the body here and you ask them to pray for it, I'm sure they'll be glad to do it. If you have a prayer request or a prayer need and you write it down on one of those sheets and you drop it in the agape box, we receive those and we're proud and grateful to be able to pray for your need and your problem. But then after doing all that, and even before doing all that, you go pray. Yourself. Meet with God. Be energized in his presence. You remember that story when Jesus and the disciples went over to Mary and Martha's house? Remember that story? And Martha was all Martha Stewart, right? She's all working, trying to make everything just perfect and running around. And Mary sits at Jesus' feet and Martha gets all mad. Lord, Mary isn't helping. Look at all that I'm doing. Look how busy I am for you. Why isn't she helping? Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Yes, let's be busy. Yes, let's work hard for the Lord. But let's also spend time at his feet. My friend, my brother, that's where the power comes from. That's where the peace comes from. That's where the joy comes from. So number four, pray. Number five, you want supernatural peace in your life, then meditate. Meditate on good things. Meditate on good things. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, I want to point out to you again that this is a command. This is a command for Christians. Meditate on these things. You are commanded. Think about these things. You take your thoughts captive for Christ. And think about these things. You know, a lot of people, they have an excuse. I can't help what I think. I just start thinking about stuff. Whatever comes into my mind, that's what I think. You can be disciplined in what you think. You can choose what you think. The scripture does say, take every thought captive for Christ. You can choose what you're thinking upon. You can choose what you're dwelling upon in your heart, your mind. And we're commanded here to meditate on these things. Now, meditate, it's a pretty heavy word. It's a very serious word. It's the Greek word logizomai. We get our word logic from it. It literally means use some brain power. Think back to when you were taking algebra in high school. How many of you loved algebra in high school? And think about some of the hardest problems that you're working through. The mental energy that it takes to get yourself all the way through a math problem. That's disciplined thinking. That's intentional thinking. That's focused thinking. Meditate on these things. Now, what things? We'll just sort of go through the list there. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Meditate on things that are true. So that would mean God's word, right? You think God's word's true? Spend a lot of time thinking about things that are true in the word of God. Whatever things are noble. Now, this is a word that speaks of something that's worthy of weight, something that's weighty, something that's worthy of your time, something that makes sense to think about, something that you wouldn't be wasting time on thinking about. I mean, think of these noble things. So in that respect, should we spend all of our day reading gossip columns or watching soap operas? Is that weighty? Watch and think about good things. You got a couple hours to watch a movie. All right. Fiddler on the Roof. Dumb and Dumber. Which one? Which one? Something that's weighty. That's what this word means. Something that's noble. Something that's worth your time. Something that will enrich your life. Things that are noble, whatever things are just, righteous, things that are righteous, things that are good, whatever things are pure, hagnos, holiness. This is a word that is used in the context of sexual purity. Obviously, not filling your mind with sexual immorality. Whatever things are lovely, prophileo in the Greek, that which inspires love. Think about that. Something that's love-inspiring. Think about those things. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. The idea is the good stories. Think about the good stories. Think about the good news, not the bad news. Read the biographies of great men and women. Get the good stories. Read those. If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. In other words, fill your mind with good things. Meditate on these good things. Emerson said, a man is what he thinks about all day long. What do you think about all day long? That's who you are. Marcus Aurelius said, A man's life is what his thoughts make it. What do you think about? Let me tell you something. If you are meditating on these things like we've discussed, folks, there's going to be peace in your life. There's going to be peace in your home. There's going to be joy, wisdom, power, and strength in your heart. One more characteristic. Look at verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these what? Do. And the God of peace will be with you. What does it mean to do? It means to obey. To live that life that God wants you to live. To be obedient to his commandments. That brings peace. Obedience to his word brings peace. When you get off the track, when you begin to rebel against what God wants for you, or you disobey, man, that's when you get off the path, and that's when you begin to feel all kinds of chaos and stress. The pathway of obedience is the pathway of peace. So consider those things tonight. Rejoice in the Lord. When? Always. Number two, be gentle with all people. Number three, live your life aware of the Lord's presence with you. Number four, pray about everything. Number five, meditate on good things. Number six, do it. Obey it. Man, if those are our priorities, if we wake up every morning and we're doing things like that, we will live at peace. We will know his peace and we will know his power. And by the way, living a life of peace like that, where you have inner peace and you're just at peace and there's this supernatural peace about your life, you will stand out among the stressed out people all around you. People will look at you and go, man, what is it about you that gives you so much peace and joy? It's the supernatural quality. When people look at a Christian's life, they should say, wow, there's someone at peace. And I want it. And they'll come to you and they'll ask. And you can give them that answer. I know Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. The Prince of Peace. People will ask. People are watching. One Bible commentator wrote this: my life shall touch a dozen lives before this day is done, leave countless marks for good or ill, ere sets the evening sun. This is the wish I always wish, the prayer I always pray. Lord, may my life help other lives it touches by the way. If you are living at peace, you will touch many, many lives. So let's keep these. Amen? Let's be men and women of peace, no matter what's going on in our life. And let's show other people how to reach that peace as well. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, as your people, help us to keep these truths firmly fixed in our lives, Lord. were so good, Lord. Your salvation is so good. You've given us every reason to rejoice daily. Every reason. Lord, some of us may need to turn our focus off the things in this world and put our focus upon you and all that we have in you. Lord, help us to be gentle with other people, respectful of other people. Lord, I pray that our prayer lives would blossom. Perhaps there are some here tonight, Lord, who haven't personally spoken to you in a long time. A long time. Lord, I pray that would change. I pray that we would enjoy a private feast with you every morning. Sitting at your feet, being re-energized. Lord, help us to meditate on things that are good. Father, help us to do those things that you want us to do. May we be aware every day of your presence with us and the fact that you could come back for us at any moment. Help us, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray for anyone here tonight who does not have that peace. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. If you're here tonight and you know nothing of that supernatural peace, it is absolutely real and it is absolutely available. No matter what's going on in your life tonight, it may feel like everything's turned upside down tonight. But you can find peace, supernatural peace. And that peace comes by inviting the Prince of Peace into your heart, into your life. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He paid for your sins. He rose again. He wants your troubles, your anxieties. He can take them. And only he can. You can't hold on to him. Let him free you tonight. Let him save you tonight. Let him wash away all your sins. It is a personal relationship with Christ. And I'd like to lead you in a prayer right now, if that's you. Just right there in the quietness of your heart, you pray. You ask, Lord Jesus, be my Prince of Peace. I invite you into my life. Be my Savior. I'm a sinner. Wash all my sins away. Thank you for paying the price for me. Make me your child, a member of your family, a citizen of heaven. Take my life. Help me to walk in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.